Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Jason Croft is our technical director. What's new? In the Old Farmer's Almanac, we get a glimpse into the pages of the 2002 edition this afternoon from Mary Ann Jarvella. She's senior editor at the Old Farmer's Almanac, which, by the way, is the oldest continuously published periodical in North America. Mary Ann, welcome.
Thank you.
What's a day in the life of a senior editor like at the Old Farmer's Almanac?
It's pretty crazy here. We are already working on the 2003 Almanac, of course, so we're getting stories in, we're fact-checking, we're doing photo research, we're talking to readers, and we're, of course, talking to radio stations and newspapers that want to know what's new in the 2002 Almanac.
Mm-hmm. You started as a fact-checker.
Yes.
What was the strangest thing you were asked to check that turned out to be true?
Oh, there's so many strange things that we have to fact check, especially from the calendar pages up front in the book where we say, you know, raccoons mate today. That's really hard to fact check. Some of the others are, of course, you know, easier, the historical facts that we put in there. But there's a lot of folklore, a lot of different remedies that are really hard to fact check, but you still think and you believe they're true.
How do you go about fact checking when raccoons are interested in one another romantically?
Well, what we do is we go back in old almanacs to see if there's anything that, because it's been picked up from old almanacs usually, that type of folklore. So we're going back in our library of almanacs to see if there's any, proof to that that's true. And then it's probably true in the New England states because that's where the almanac first was published. So if we put in raccoons mate today, that's true for Massachusetts and Vermont, but maybe not for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So
the almanac has been in publication. It is the oldest continuously published periodical in North America. It's been in publication, goes back to the 18th century. Mm-hmm. How long?
This is our 210th issue, so it's been around since 1792, which is a long time.
Yeah, I guess so. That's
George Washington was president back then, and our first editor, Robert B. Thomas, was a math teacher and an astronomer, and he decided to start his own little almanac. There were so many almanacs around back then because that was one of the only reference books that farmers and fishermen used to be able to do their jobs. And so he just decided he wanted to have his own and started to publish it, and we have actually outlived most of them.
Now, what's that? Robert Thomas's almanac, apart from all the rest, why have you guys been around now for portions of four centuries?
I think our readership has been very loyal to us, and I think what has really been the key is that we're trying to give people information with a degree of humor, and I think the humor has been what has kept us going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it's continues over the course of its life, it's continued to give folks suggestions for planting dates, astronomical information, tide tables. So that has remained constant.
Mm-hmm.
How has the almanac changed over time?
Well, I think you pointed to the section that has stayed the same, and that is the calendar pages, the astronomical information, the tides. That has all stayed the same. And if you look at the calendar pages today and you look at an old issue of the almanac from, let's say, 1802, those pages look exactly the same. But then over time, we have started to put more emphasis on some of the articles and the features that we put around those calendar pages, and it's been in the beginning, I think there was much more farming and gardening related articles, but today I think we realized that our readers are mostly gardeners and not farmers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, we don't put that many articles about farming in anymore. But we do keep the planting tables, which seems to be a very popular section of the Almanac. People really believe in planting by the moon, and they call us and say it really works. And so we're still, we listen to our readers, and we do change certain things, but very gradually. And the last few years, we've been putting in a consumer taste and trends section in the front,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a little different because it looks to the next year. It looks to what's going to be popular, what people like, what people are doing. And it's a little, we're having a little fun with fashions and food and what people like to collect.
Yeah. As far as fashion goes, what will we be seeing down the line here?
Oh, I think for men, white dress shirts are back, and the disco, the bell-bottom jeans and disco clothes are back for younger people. We're also seeing all kinds of lengths in skirts.
But you caution the mid-calf length
should
be avoided.
Caution.
That apparently isn't going to be as hot as the mini or the ankle length.
No. So actually, we do talk to fashion experts during the year to see what they have to say, and then we just pick the fun and the interesting things from what they say and put into the almanac.
Yeah.
And for collectibles, we're saying that denim is hot because I guess last year an old Levi's jacket sold for $41,000. And golf gear, old clubs and tees, and autographed photos are collectible.
Hmm. Interesting. This year there's a feature on weddings, then and now.
Yeah.
And today, rather than a flower girl and a ring-bearing boy, we might see a decked-out canine coming down the aisle. Now, how did you folks bump into this particular piece of information?
I think the author of this piece had seen an article or a couple of articles that actually had a couple that used their dog as the ring-bearer or I think it was the ring bearer. And then I think we also have seen some cats that have been involved in weddings. I don't think that's a trend, but
I don't know how you get a cat to do
such
sure. such a
Yeah, I can see how a dog can be trained to do it,
yeah.
but a cat, I don't know.
Yeah. Boy, and what a scene stealer. Do you really want to have that on your wedding day? I don't
I'm
know.
Not sure.
Yeah. I wonder if couples ever use the almanac to select a date, given all the weather information that's in there.
They do. Actually, we get a lot of calls from mothers of the bride or even the brides asking for the best day to get married, and they want us to pin it down for them. They want us to tell them that the sun is going to be shining and there's not going to be a cloud in the sky. And usually we tell them what the forecast says in the book, but then we always add that they should rent a tent in case. So nobody has sued us yet.
Yeah. Winter's on the horizon. What's the almanac's forecast for winter for Chicago and the southern Great Lakes states, where roughly we are?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a milder winter overall, but there's going to be some really ups and downs during the winter. We're seeing one of the warmest Februaries in history. But then January is going to be really cold. So we're going to really go from very, very cold to a very mild February. And December is going to be pretty cold. Early December is going to be cold, and then it's going to get milder for Christmas.
Hmm. How accurate are you guys?
Well, we're saying we're about 80% accurate overall, and that means that in some areas we're more accurate than others. I'm looking at, we actually looked back to last winter to see how accurate we were in certain areas, and for central U.S., we were about 81.7% accurate on the temperature, and precipitation, we were 61.7% accurate. So the temperature, we hit right on, but the precipitation, we were off on.
Yeah. Now, our meteorologists here at this radio station always caution that long-term forecasting is very difficult. Where exactly does the information for a year-long forecast come from?
Well, we have several people helping us out, and we have one gentleman who's been with us for a long time. He looks at the sunspots, and he looks at the sunspot cycles, and he keeps an eye on that and tells us, you know, where those sunspots are going to be next year, and then we figure that into our formula. And then we're also getting some help from, AccuWeather and their computer models, and then we're looking at an old formula that Robert B. Thomas created way back when he started the Almanac. And we're putting all that together and then, you know, creating forecasts for 16 regions, which is a lot for U.S. and also for Canada we have forecasts.
At the end of the 18th century, what kind of things was Robert Thomas looking at to prognosticate weather?
He actually started to look at sunspots. We have records where he... handwritten records where he kept track of the sunspots, and he didn't have any powerful tools to do that. I mean, he used his eyes, and he probably had some type of telescope, but he kept track of the sunspot cycles. But he also believed that the moon phases had something to do with the weather patterns. But we don't believe in that anymore, so we took that out of the formula. But he only predicted the weather for New England, which was much easier than doing it for the whole country, and he mainly looked at, you know, what's going to happen for the fishermen and the farmers, and he narrowed it to that, you know, that audience.
Interesting. How has the humor changed from those early publications to where it is in the year 2002? Is there anything you can say in general about the humor, about the anecdotes in the almanac?
Well, I think we're looking at some of the jokes and some, you know, some of the humor that was put in the almanacs, let's say 100 years ago. And some of it is very hard to understand today, and you really have to put yourself in that and in the year that the almanac was published to really understand what they were talking about. But it's very interesting to look at some of the jokes and some of the reader letters.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a section in the back of the almanac where we invite our readers to send in stories and you know, jokes or whatever, and that hasn't changed. But the content has changed a little bit, and I think it's, you know, it's just the way people live and what they do has changed.
Maybe that would make an interesting article at some point in the future, you know, humor, Old Farmer's Almanac humor then and now.
Mm-hmm. And also puzzles and rainy day amusement type of things have also been in the almanac all along, and they have changed. But a couple of years back, we published puzzles that were in... 100 years ago, we picked the almanac that was published 100 years ago, and we put the puzzles in to see if somebody could actually come up with the answers, and they were really much more advanced than the puzzles we put in today. I think people didn't have much else to do back then, so they really got into the puzzles and the mathematical problems, and so it's very interesting to look back. And we actually do sell replicas of the almanac. So for this year, we have replicas from 1902 and 1802 that people can buy.
Very
so they can compare, you know.
And also folks can look for you nowadays on the web.
Yeah, and that's really exciting because that has really helped us a lot because the almanac is still black. You know, it's just black and white. There's no color. Except in the front end of the almanac, but on the web we can put color photos, or we can put extra information that we don't put in the almanac, so people can read more about a person or an event. So that's really helped us a lot, I think, and it's really a great thing. And we have a lot of questions and answers. We have forums. We have recipes.
And I got to go, Marianne.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're Marianne okay. Jarvella, thank you very much for talking with us. This
well,
is WILL Urbana.